Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not all of us are artists, so we may need some help because there's some artwork that we have to do on the back of the worship folder. We have to draw three faces. So could you help those of us who are not good artists? Could you turn to somebody and just practice a sad face? Maybe you could get a little hero. Sad face? Okay. Now practice a glad face. Lots of teeth, right? And my son-in-law and daughters-in-law all say that there is a Panitsky try hard face. Our daughter-in-law says it's like you are, I forgot the first phrase that she used, that you're slack-jawed, your eyes are squinty, and you look like you're trying to solve the hardest math problem in the world, and you're drooling. So, practice your try hard. All right, so this will help you as you draw in those faces on the back of the worship folder, because as I think about the wise men, I think about somebody who is a lost cause. And as we think about the wise men and their coming to worship the Savior, I hope that we recognize that we are all a lost cause and we have reason to have a sad face, but that we are also able to say those same words, I am a lost cause, with a great big smile on our face. And then also that if you and I believe that we are a lost cause, then we're going to have a try hard face as we walk out this door. I do believe that the wise men were a lost cause. Now, my guess is that the people of Jerusalem would have looked at the wise men and perhaps not seen them as a lost cause. You know, the living nativity costumes are out there in the lobby. When we made those, we wanted to show that these were incredibly wealthy people. You know, so when they came into Jerusalem, I'm sure that the people of Jerusalem would have gone, wow, look at their wealth. Look at their caravan. They are not a lost cause. But what does a lost cause look like? A lost cause can look like an insider like Herod or an outsider like the wise men. A lost cause can look like a rich person like the wise men or a poor person like the shepherds. A lost cause can look like the super righteous priests and scribes there in Jerusalem, or a sinner like the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. See, what does a lost cause look like? A lost cause looks like all of us, because we are all the same. We are all lost causes. That's what God says. Just confess with me these passages. There is no one righteous, not even one. So there is no one here who's not a lost cause. None of us are righteous. We are all lost causes. Again, every inclination of a person's heart is evil from childhood. This isn't my judgment or your judgment about somebody else. This is God's judgment about each one of us. We are a lost cause. Or if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does a lost cause look like? A lost cause is what all of us are. It doesn't make any difference whether you are somebody like the wise men. Oh yeah, they were a lost cause. They were a lost cause because they were outsiders. They were non-Jews. The whole Old Testament had shown God's focus, his saving activity, focused on the nation of Israel. Certainly there were non-Israelites who came to faith, but his focus was on the nation of Israel. So much so that the early Christian church said, this is a mystery. That's what we heard in the epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Yeah, he's saying this is an incredible mystery that God is revealing, that yes, the gospel, Jesus came for outsiders, Gentiles, like the wise men. The wise men were a lost cause because they were rich. Remember how Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven? They were a lost cause. And so were King Herod and the priests and the scribes. King Herod was an insider, but he was a lost cause. Not only did he plan the murder of the babies in Bethlehem, but perhaps you know the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that when Herod was about to die, he rounded up 3,000 of the leading men of the nation so that they would be put to death the moment that he died, so that the whole nation would mourn at his death. He was a lost cause, even though he was an insider. And you know that Jesus had some of the strongest words of rebuke for the religious leaders of his day. He called them to repentance for their hypocrisy. They were righteous, but they were a lost cause. And so every one of us is a lost cause. And with that thought in mind, I pray that you and I stop judging by outward appearances. There is a very powerful temptation to walk into a door of a church and look around and make comparisons and say, I'm a lost cause because I'm not the insider. There are people who have been here longer than me. There are people who are more in the know than me. There are people who know more people than me. I'm an outsider and they're the insiders and I'm a lost cause. Or they have better clothes than I do, a better car, a better house, and I'm a lost cause. Or they have lived a godly life, and I know that this past week there are things that I have done and said and thought that I am ashamed of. Their lives are all together, and I'm a lost cause. Marriage is falling apart. My kids aren't doing what they should do. Whatever it is, you make comparisons and go, I'm a lost cause. You are a lost cause, not because of a comparison to somebody else, but because we are all lost causes. All of us don't measure up to God's standard. But on the flip side, if we walk into the doors of a church or look around in the community around us and we see lost causes because there are people who are outsiders, they don't know the Bible like we do, Or there are people who obviously have made some very poor life choices, and financially their life is a disaster. They're a lost cause. Or if you walk in and you go, I know this person's addiction and that person's addiction and that person's addiction. When we do that, you know what that's evidence of? And we all do. What that's evidence of is not the lost cause of somebody else, but that you and I are a lost cause. That we stand in judgment over other people. And so it's fitting that we start our worship service by just coming into God's presence and saying, I'm a lost cause. Would you join with me in making that confession? I'm a lost cause. Martin Luther made that confession too. He said, I am a lost and condemned creature. But it's interesting to see the context of that confession. It's in his second, explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, that he is a lost and condemned creature. But notice that what he also says, that Jesus Christ has redeemed me, he has purchased me, he has won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and innocent sufferings and death. Brothers and sisters, you and I can say those same words, but this time let's have a smile on our face. I am a lost cause. You see, what we're celebrating today is that Jesus came into the world to save lost causes like the wise men and lost causes like us. Jesus is the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost, right? We can join with the Apostle Paul and say, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am the worst. I'm a lost cause, and that's what makes me smile, because then I know Jesus came for me. And not only did he come to save a lost cause like you and me, but he was able to find a lost cause like you and me. You know, there's so much mystery connected with the wise men. Where did they come from? We think from Babylon. And how did these Gentiles know anything about a Messiah who was to be born in Bethlehem, a great king, or in Judea? Well, we can put things together, you know, that Daniel was a chief of the magicians, the wise men of Babylon, and that he shared that promise that there would be a star that would arise out of Jacob from Numbers chapter 24. But that was 500 years earlier. How many links in the chain did there have to be to bring that promise of the Savior from Daniel all the way 500 years later to the wise men? It is a mystery. We don't know how God did it, but God had a plan that these lost causes would know the Savior. And so we don't know exactly all those links in the chain, but God did, so that the wise men would come to faith. In fact, God pulled out all the stops. He sent this miraculous star. You know, the star is a mystery too. I've never seen a star that appears and then disappears and then appears again and then gets low enough to lead them right to the very house where Jesus was born. Yeah, astronomers try to figure out what was that star, but the easy answer is simply, this is a miraculous star. Our God made the heavens, and our God can certainly make a star to carry out his plan to save a lost cause like the wise men. It's a mystery how God did it, but you and I can look back and say, wow, he was able to find them 1,000 miles away, cultures away, he was able to find them and bring them to Jesus. Have you ever thought that your faith is a mystery as well? You know, 500 years ago was the Lutheran Reformation, and the fact that you and I are sitting in this church, that's just a reminder that we are descendants of that great event 500 years ago. But can any of you trace your lineage from that Lutheran Reformation 500 years later to your faith? You know, who is it that was instrumental in bringing you to know your Savior? Maybe as an infant, maybe as an adult. Was it a parent? A grandparent? You know, I look back and I'm just amazed at my paternal grandma and grandpa. I think they must have been very strong Christians. All their children were faithful in worshiping the Lord. But you know, it's only a generation removed, and I have no idea which one of them was maybe stronger in the faith. Which was the spiritual leader of that family? Was it my grandpa, or maybe it was my grandma? And did God kind of have a star in the east event in their lives, some significant thing that just made them see Jesus in a whole new light? I don't know. It's just a generation removed. But that part of my faith is a mystery, but I know God had a plan to find a lost cause like me. And that's what you and I can celebrate today. That we are lost causes, not only saved by a God who came into this world to die for all of our guilt, but also that we're a lost cause that God said, I'm going to find you out of the mass of humanity and bring you to know my Son and your Savior. So, let's make the confession. I'm a lost cause. Isn't that great news? The last phase is the try hard phase. If you and I believe that we are lost causes that our Savior has found, that will change us. It certainly changed the wise men. The wise men came and gave generous gifts, didn't they? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. They used their resources to serve their Savior. But I think the greatest evidence of an incredible change, an incredible try-hard attitude in the wise men is their gift of time. From Ezra's account, we know this Old Testament character called Ezra took 4 months to travel that distance from Babylon to Jerusalem. Just imagine that the wise men then took a four-month trip to find the child who was born king of the Jews, and then they took a four-month trip back home, almost a year of their time. Because they were convinced, I'm a lost cause who was found, and nothing's going to keep me from worshiping and serving my Savior. I'm a lost cause. And that determination changes us. I've been found, and I want to be used by God to find the other lost causes around me. You know, during the Christmas break, I was reading, or I still am, reading a biography of J. Robert Oppenheimer. Does the name ring a bell with any of you? He's the scientific director of the Manhattan Project, the group that eventually discovered how to use the power that God had placed into the atom to create an incredibly powerful bomb. Right after Robert Oppenheimer was appointed to be the scientific director of the Manhattan Project and set up a lab in Los Alamos, New Mexico, he traveled to Chicago. There, a physicist named Enrico Fermi had a lab, and he had already been working for several years on nuclear fission. And he had caused the first chain reaction a couple of years earlier. But Enrico Fermi in Chicago lived in a scarcity mindset. You see, when he began his research, nobody in the government thought that this was a big deal. And so in Chicago, there were this idea, we have limited resources, but hey, we've got lots of time. Oh, we know that the Germans are probably 2 years ahead of us in this research, but we're not going to win anyway. So we'll use the limited resources we have, and we'll just plod along as best as we can, because we're going to lose anyway. By the time Oppenheimer was appointed scientific director of the Manhattan Project, the government said, this is the most important thing that we are going to do in this war. And so there were unlimited resources. But what didn't they have? Time. There was an urgency. So the Chicago style was, woe is us. There's nothing we can do. The Los Alamos style was, wow, it's us. We have to win. It's up to us. And the reason why I talk about this is it's easy for us as a church, as individual Christians, to fall into the Chicago style of ministry. Woe is us. There is this horrible enemy who is powerful and leading people around us away from God. We see lost causes all around us. It doesn't make any difference whether insiders or outsiders, members of the congregation or not members of the congregation, rich or poor, or the righteous or the sinner. It doesn't make any difference. They are all around us. They may not appreciate us calling them lost causes because they don't understand that they can smile with that term. But you and I know they are. And we can just have the Chicago style of ministry. You know, the lost cause. The devil's always going to win. And in individual lives, and in church lives. I'll be honest, it's easy to fall into a scarcity mindset. We have limited resources, so we'll just plod along. But you and I know that we don't have an unlimited amount of time. Lost causes around us die. And you and I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. But you and I know that we also have unlimited resources. Crazy to talk that way, but it's true, isn't it? God that we worship, he says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He invites us, ask, and it will be given. If you and I can walk out of here with a smile on our face, I'm a lost cause. That Jesus found, Jesus saved. Then it's my prayer that we also walk out of here with that try hard face on. There are lost causes all around. And I have a limited amount of time that I'm going to use to find those lost causes. And the resources that God has placed into our care, that ultimately our goal is to use those resources to find the lost cause. So it's my prayer that you want us as leaders in your congregation to share with you, here are ways that we can find more of the lost causes, that we bring to you the opportunities that are abounding in the world mission fields, that we could never have imagined, that you will want us to bring to you, here are opportunities to reach the lost causes. And you won't go, oh, not again, but you'll say, yes, what can I do? Because I am determined, because I am a lost cause, and I want to reach the lost causes. Let me know. The time is short. God has given us unlimited resources. Lord, give us what you know that we need to carry out your ministry, and use me, because I am a lost cause. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.